بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on inshallah today to a new chapter that deals with the different forms of prayers. So we finished the chapters that deal with tahara, with impurity, with the description of the Prophet's prayers alayhi salatu wasalam, and with the description of how to pray with congregation, with description of when to travel and how to pray a traveler's prayers, and when to combine, when to shorten. And after that, usually scholars speak about the different types of prayers, such as Friday prayer, which is the most prominent and most important, Eid prayers, prayers for rain, prayers for funeral, prayers for eclipse, etc. And the scholars usually join all of these prayers in one section. And the compiler of Umdatul Ahkam is not a stranger to that, and that is why he began by addressing the issue of Friday prayer. Now we know that there is a surah in the Quran by the name of Suratul Jumu'ah, which indicates the importance of that particular prayer. Not only that, we know that the day of Jumu'ah is an important day for the Muslims, and that is why the Allah Azza wa Jal has specified this day with a special prayer, unlike any other day. And why is this day important? Because it is the holiday that comes once a week. It is a celebration, a day that calls for celebration, or actually it is a day of Eid. There is no such thing as celebrating it, but it is a day of importance. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is the best day the sun has ever risen in. It is the day that Allah created Adam. It is the day that Allah instructed the angels to prostrate to him. It is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal descended Adam in it due to his sin. It is the day that the day of judgment will take place in. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, every single week, all animals are anticipating and listening, afraid that the day of judgment will come on Friday. This is something we do not see, but we do believe. The day of Jum'ah has a number of protocols that the other days don't have. In the day of Jum'ah, we recite Surah Al-Kahf every single Jum'ah, because the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that whoever maintains this, a light shines from underneath his feet till the day of judgment. And this is something of great reward. The Prophet ﷺ instructed the men also, before attending the Friday sermon, to have ghusl. And whether this ghusl is mandatory or not, it's an issue of dispute among scholars, but no one argues that it is highly recommended in Islam to offer this ghusl, whether it's mandatory or recommended. But they all agree that it is recommended. It is part of the sunnah to offer this ghusl. And it has the prayer of Jumu'ah, which is prayed instead of dhuhr. So those who pray Jumu'ah do not offer dhuhr, and those who miss Jumu'ah must offer dhuhr. And it is not a replacement of dhuhr, in the sense that it is prayed in different times to dhuhr. It is prayed in a different format than dhuhr. Dhuhr is four, this is two. Dhuhr is silent, this is loud. Dhuhr is prayed after the sun leaves the meridian towards the west, after the zawal, and this is prayed much earlier than that. There is a dispute among scholars when to be prayed exactly. The dhuhr does not have a khutbah. This is mandatory to have for Friday, to have two khutbas, and along with another or a number of different things that differentiate Jum'ah from Dhuhr prayer. We have a hadith, which is hadith number 133. We would like someone to read it for us. Yes, brother, over there on the top.
Sahal bin Sa'd, may Allah's peace be upon him, narrated that men debated to what was the material of the Prophet's pulpit. Sahal replied, "It was made of tamarisk, wood of the forest. I have seen Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand on it and said, 'Allahu Akbar,' and led the people in prayer. He bowed and then raised his head and stepped back, got down and prostrated on the ground, and then he again ascended the pulpit until he finished his prayer and then faced the people and said, 'O people, I have done this so that you may follow me and learn my prayers.' In another narration, and he prayed on it, offered takbir on it, and raised his head while standing on it and then descended backwards from it."
Very well. This hadith is about an issue that some of the Muslims discussed, and that is, what was it made of? That is the pulpit of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to stand and deliver the khutbah of the Jum'ah. So what do we learn in this regarding the Friday speech, the Friday sermon? That it is to be delivered from on top of the pulpit, which is two or three steps high, that the Imam stands so that he would be overviewing the followers and the congregation, and they would be able to see him even from a distance. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, may Allah be pleased with him, and he is among the last to die from the companions in Medina. He's the last of the companions to die in Medina. So the Tabi'een went to him to ask him. So he told them that he knows what material was the pulpit made of, and he gave them a description of the type of the wood, and he also added an extra piece of information. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed once on the pulpit, offering recitation and bowing, but prostrating by going backwards and prostrating on ground and then going back again, so that people would see how he prays. And that is why he justified this by saying, "I did this only so that you can see how I pray." Now, one may argue and say, does this go against the issue of sincerity? Because Allah does not accept any deeds unless it is sincere for His sake. So was the Prophet praying for the sake of Allah or for the sake of teaching the people? No, he was doing both. He was praying for Allah, but with an extra value to teach the people. And is this permissible in Islam? Yes. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, "ليس عليكم جناح أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم." What does this mean? Allah says that there is no hardship, there is no problem if you ask for provision from Allah Azza wa Jal. When? While doing Hajj. And this ayah was revealed because some people felt that it would not be suitable for them to perform Hajj and sell and buy and trade at the same time. So Allah revealed this ayah to say that it is no problem for you to offer Hajj and at the same time trade. Because Shaitan came to them and said, this is not sincerity. If you're sincere, only go for the sake of Allah for Hajj. No, it is no problem for you to offer good deeds and meanwhile do some benefit on the side, providing that doing the benefit is not your actual reason. So if someone leads a prayer and the government gives him an allowance for leading the prayer, must he say, no, I don't want it? I didn't request it. The government volunteered, and this is the system that they give all imams money. If this is the case, it's okay to take it. Because once the government stops the money, will I continue to lead the prayer or not? If the answer is no, then you're not sincere. If the answer is yes, you give me money, you don't give me money, I'm going to pray. I'm doing it for Allah. Then this is a sign of sincerity, unless the imam does not have any other source of income. So in this case, once they cut the payment, it is permissible for him to go and teach or to go to look for another job elsewhere, because at the end of the day, he's responsible for his welfare and for the welfare of his family. We move on to the second hadith, hadith number 134. Yes, the first brother here.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, any one of you coming for the Jumu'ah prayer should take a bath.
Now this is an issue of dispute among scholars, whether is it mandatory to perform ghusl before you attend the prayer or not. And what is the reason of the difference of opinion? For example, the hadith we have with us here. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, whoever comes among you, any one of you coming for Jumu'ah, should take a bath. Should take a bath, this is an order, an instruction. So is it mandatory or not? It is an issue of dispute among scholars. Those who say it is mandatory, they have a number of evidences. Among them, this hadith. And another hadith where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, ghuslul Jumu'ah, the ghusl of Jumu'ah is mandatory upon every person who reached the age of puberty. And they also use the hadith where Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, came late one day for Jum'ah while Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, was giving the khutbah. And Umar did not like this, so he said something that Uthman replied to by saying, by Allah, Khalifa of the Prophet, or Khalifa, or Amir al-Mu'mineen, I did not have time except to perform wudu, and I came. And Umar was shocked and said, and you also only performed wudu? Did you know that the Prophet instructed us to make ghusl? We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.